Let us all stand. Go before the Lord in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, truly it is a joy, Lord, to be here tonight, Lord, to have a song of praise in our heart, Lord, and a desire, Lord, to come in here and to worship you tonight. We pray, Lord, as we worship you, that we would worship you in spirit and truth. Lord, just asking that you'd have the preeminence in our service, Lord, and bless us with revelation, Lord, as our brother brings forth the word, if you lay those on his heart. Lord, to help us in our walk with thee and our faith to grow stronger. We just love and appreciate you for everything you've done for us. We just give you all the glory and honor and praise in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Let's turn to page 592 in our Only Belief. Let's talk about Jesus. Amen. Let's talk about Jesus. The King of Kings is he, the Lord of Lords supreme throughout eternity. The great I am, the way, the truth, the life, the door. Let's talk about Jesus more and more. Let's talk about Jesus. Position too, down through all history. He doesn't change. He's the same tonight as he was yesterday, 2,000 years ago.
Yes.
Doing the same things.
Glory.
Amen. Let's turn to page 597. That is, of course, their joy unspeakable.
Yes.
Truly how we should have a joy in our hearts tonight. Amen. I have found his grace is all complete. Supplieth every need. While I sit and learn at Jesus' feet, I am free, yes, free indeed. When his joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. Has never yet.
Savior's presence is so near. I can see His smiling face. Oh, it is joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, and the half has never yet been told. I have found the joy no tongue can tell, how its waves of glory roll. It is like a great overflowing well, springing up within my soul. Oh, it is joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, and the half has never yet been told.
Amen. Truly how we should have such a joy in our hearts today, yes, for all that the Lord has done for us. Amen. Let's turn over to page 625. Bless that wonderful name. Amen. Bless that wonderful name of Jesus. Bless that wonderful name of Jesus. Bless that wonderful name. Prayers. He knows your needs. Amen. Brother Sells, will you come take the offering tonight?
Praise His name. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, Lord Jesus. Father, we are truly thankful that there is power in
Amen.
The name.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, we so appreciate it for all you.
Yes,
yes. Lord, we can look through our lives and see your hand guiding us.
Amen.
Lord, just granting to us every need, Lord, that we have.
Yes.
Father, in our hearts, revealing your word to us. Lord, it's so precious, so
yes.
wonderful. Lord Jesus, I love you so much.
Amen.
Bless this offering, Father, that we take up. May you just bless it, to multiply it to meet the needs we
yes.
have, Lord.
Amen.
That your name may be glorified and spread throughout the world. We
Amen.
Ask this, Father, in your precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah. Amen. Let's sing that little chorus, Something Beautiful.
Yeah.
685. Something beautiful.
Was brokenness.
each one of our lives. We look where we come from and where we're at today. Oh, it's by His grace and mercy, saints. How many has a need upon your heart by the upraising of your hand? Brother Leffler, would you take the prayer request tonight?
Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, Lord, knowing, Father, we come in your right spirit, Lord. I've said it many times. Lord, if we come, you'll give us what we need.
Yes.
Lord, the only way we can come, Lord, you brought us here. We didn't bring ourselves, Father, in spirit, Lord. And I pray, Father, that each one who comes tonight, Lord, that you'll bless them.
Yes, dear
Lord. Any sick or afflicted. I ask you your blessing, Father.
Yes.
Lord, I ask you to remember my wife, Brother Bobby.
Amen.
Lord, heal their bodies. I ask
yes.
Pray. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Thank
you. Lord, there's many, Lord, out in this land don't know you. I greet you every day with a prophet. Where are they going to end up? If they don't get right, even toward his congregation, you got to get right. Or else. Father, we're asking, Lord, let each one of us in this church tonight, Father, in this building, Lord, get right with you, Father.
Amen.
I ask and pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Is there anyone who has a song you'd like to come and sing or special?
Dear Jesus, there's no way to tell you of this longing that I'm feeling deep inside. My soul is crying for Lord, constant. till your love moves and motivates me. Swimming water, no restrictions, till I lose sight of this human life, going deeper in thee. I'm losing sight of this human life, going deeper in thee.
Each and every one of our desires tonight is to go deeper. Let us all stand as we ask our brother to come. Let's sing that little chorus, "He's All I Need." Amen.
He's all I need. He's all I need. Jesus is all I need. He's all.
The way you feel, sing it again.
He's all I need. He's all I need. Jesus is all I need. He's all
for a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for one more opportunity to come and Lord, to gather in around your precious word. And Lord, we just humbly ask that this evening, Lord, these few things you've laid up on my heart to read, the Lord, it'll strengthen or help us wherever we need to be. Lord, just a stepping stone. Lord, it's word, it's your word, Lord, and it is spirit and it is life. And Lord, if we open up our hearts to you, Lord, there might be a little nugget that we can grab a hold of, Lord, that'll help us. And Lord, we just want to yield ourselves unto thee for service now, Lord, and ask you to have your way in all things. And we ask it to your glory and honor in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, isn't he precious?
Yes.
Amen. While you're standing, I'm going to turn over to the book of John. If you would like to turn there to John, the 12th chapter. Amen. Try not to hold you very long, but the quotes are kind of lengthy that I was going to read, but wanted to catch the essence of what he was saying. Amen. Thank the Lord for the opportunity to be here.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
It's like a breath of fresh air.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Thank God for his precious word. Amen. Here in John the 12th chapter, and let's start there at the 24th verse. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. And if any man serve me, him will my Father honor. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. You may be seated. Well, a lot of different ways you can run with that little scripture. Amen. But I'd like to turn over to the book of Mark, if you would, with me. Read a very familiar scripture here. Amen. Mark, the 10th chapter. Amen. We're living in such a precious time, saints, right before the appearing of the Lord, but we must make sure with our calling and election. Yes. We know exactly where we're standing. Amen. Amen. Here in Mark, the 10th chapter, and start there at the 17th verse. And when he had gone forth into the way, there come one running, and kneeled down to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother." And he answered and said unto him, "Master, all of these I've observed from my youth." There was that measuring stick of God's word. Stood up before him, and he's measuring himself up.
Yes, amen.
And here comes all that word right at him. It looks good. He said, "Honor thy father." He answered and said, "Master, all of these I've observed from my youth." And then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, "One thing thou lackest, go thy way and sell whatsoever thou hast and give to the poor, that thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come, take up thy cross and follow me." And he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. May the Lord bless the reading of that word also. Amen. But as we read these, we see this example that was given here, that rich young ruler, and how he was able to match up to so much word. But all he had to do was die out. If he would have just died out to himself and sold them riches, look what he could have gained. And how we are living in an age where that's truly, nobody wants to die out anymore. Our Lord and Savior gave up his life for us freely, was crucified, and rose again that he might be able to, that life could come back upon us in this day. And how that the same with us, we must be buried in baptism with him, a true baptism of an old past life, and be resurrected anew into a new life. And to be able to see that in our hearts and in our lives. And then once we realize, once we've received that baptism of the Holy Ghost, the scripture says he will teach us all things and guide us into all truths. And how that truly we should be hungering that, young, middle-aged, old, it doesn't matter, to see that he will lead us into all truths, and how that ought to be the hunger of our heart. Is, Lord, I want to be led into all truths. I'm not happy. I've kept this word and I've kept that word. But Lord, it's all truth. And it all must be manifested. The life that was in Jesus Christ came back upon that believer as a token. And it's to live out through a many-membered bride, showing that that life is there and on display. And how we, that ought to be the desire of each and every one of our hearts. More as the days pass on, as we get closer and closer, it ought to become such a fervent desire. But as we just start to want to read here in the Message Leadership, December 7th, 1965, and Brother Branham speaking here, and he started talking on page 17 here at paragraph 136. "The first corn of wheat, the bridegroom, had to fall into the earth in order to rise again. So did the first bride that was born at Pentecost have to go through the dark ages like any other seed and be buried, and they had to die. They must do it, but it started sprouting again in Luther in the First Reformation. It didn't look like seed that went in, but it was the light of the day. Stalked then, and it went into the tassel, Wesley, and from the tassel went into Pentecost, the shuck. And when you see into the wheat, when it comes forth, the corn of wheat, a man that's raised wheat, you go out and see the wheat form in there, and it looks just exactly like the grain. But if you'll take the tweezer and sit down and take that wheat and open it up, there's no grain in there to hold the grain. The wheat, and open it up, there's no grain in there at all. It's just shuck. Then what? It's formed in there to hold the grain. See, but the first thing you know, the life left the stalk to go up into the tassel, and it left the tassel to go into the shuck. And it leaves the shucks and goes into the wheat. Three stages, see? And then it forms the wheat outside. Three stages, Luther, Wesley, and Pentecost, just exactly. See, no doubt, you can't interrupt nature. Now look, every 3 years after a message has went forth, sent from God, they organize. This has been 20 years and there's no organization. It won't, see. The shuck has to pull away and give the wheat a chance to lay before the sun to ripen on the message coming right back into the church again, forming the body of Jesus Christ, just like the first original that went into the ground, see, to that eternal life. The life, sure, the stalk back there carried the life, certainly it did. But you see, when it become the stock, it was finished, the organization, the life went right on into Wesley and come right on. Watch each one of them a big blade, don't look like grain, but when that little pollen comes up like that on the shuck or the stalk, pollen the tassel, it looks a whole lot like the grain, but when it comes down to that shuck, it's almost there. And didn't Jesus say in the last days, Matthew 24:24, the two would be so close it would deceive the very genes predestinated, the elected ones, if it was possible. Almost like the real thing, see. So in the last days now, you see in the wheat time now, it's getting harvest time. This is not Luther's age. This is not the Pentecost age. This is the bride age. As Moses called a nation out of a nation, Christ today is calling a church out of a church, you see. The same thing in type, taking them to this glorious eternal promised land. And to refuse the person that's doing the calling, Christ, no matter if you're Pentecostal, Methodist, Luther, whatever you are, you've got to, this age, nothing against them, not at all, but in this age now, you've got to accept like they did in that age, the person of Christ, which is the Word. Amen. And we can look back and see what he's talking about. We see how God started that Reformation through Luther and Wesley into Pentecost. But this is the age of the full Word. Yes. This is the age where nothing can be left off. This is the harvest. There's nothing left more when it comes harvest time for that wheat. It's reached full maturity. It's come to a full ripeness. It's lacking nothing. And that's where we've got to come to today. And that's where we see, as we see the churches all around us and us right here together. It doesn't matter that I belong to this church. It doesn't matter what message church I belong to or how much I affiliate myself with the message. It's got to come to a life that's lived through me in an individual affair with God. This goes back to show that the person of Jesus Christ is resurrected and living through me. The very life that he lived coming back. And it can't be lacking nothing. And now we can see, as Brother Brandon plainly showed us, that the rain falls on the just and the unjust. The Holy Spirit falls and the anointing comes. And everybody raises up and rejoices. And sometimes it looks so much like the real thing. There's a rejoicing there, a true shout, oh, they're happy. But when it comes down and they've left that anointing, the life is not on display. And that's where we must come. We can't just come in here under the anointing and worship and praise God. Hallelujah, it feels wonderful. But when we leave here, it's got to still be on display. It's still got to be a life that's living and pulsating. A joy in my heart. It's burning, bubbling out through me every day. And that my desire still is to be exactly what Jesus Christ wants me to be. He says, the person of Christ, which is the Word. In the beginning, the Word and the In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13:8, see? You must accept the person of eternal life. What life Luther had was justification. Wesley had sanctification added to it. And the Pentecost had the restoration of the gifts coming back into it, adding to it. But now it's completing in the body. You see in three phases of it, when the resurrection comes, the life that lived in them Lutherans that went out, that life that lived in the Methodist and went out, the life that went into the Pentecostals will be raptured out of the ground in the body of the bride to be taken before Jesus Christ. Glory to God. Oh, it's exciting. It's the truth. Hallelujah. But we've turned a corner and we're looking towards heaven, watching for the coming. The cap on the pyramid, as we would say, is coming back. The church must be resurrected soon, and we must get ready. And the only way you can is not to say, well, I belong to the assemblies, and I belong to the oneness and the two-ness, or whatever it is. All of them there, I belong to the church of God, don't mean a thing. Our fathers shouted and danced. That's just all perfectly right. That was their day. But today, you are confronted not with the organization that they made, but with the life that's going on, which is Jesus Christ. Amen. And that's where it's at today. It's good to come and say, I've joined the church. I go there and I've started doing this. And that's wonderful. But we must go on to the life of that Word of Jesus Christ. We can't be content knowing that, oh, I held up the measuring stick and I measured up so high. But all that one next step, I just ain't worried about it. I don't care if that's not accomplished in my life. It's not necessary. I can't overcome that thing. I don't worry about it. I just let it go. It's me. That's the part we can't have. The wheat's got to come to full maturity. It's got to come to where all the greenness is gone. And that's why we come here and lay in the presence of this Word. But we're living in a dangerous time to where people come and they lay in the presence of the Word. But like the rich young ruler, they think it's okay to turn and just turn a dull ear to the Word that's being spoke. When Jesus Christ is trying to get his bride ready. Jesus, it's not the pastor. God uses men to bring the word, but Jesus Christ himself is calling his bride. He's coming back to get his bride. Amen. And it's his word that's doing the perfection, not the word of men or the way a certain church does any certain thing. But it's Jesus Christ with his word. He's laid it out the way the past should be done, and it brings it right to life. The same as you take a natural seed, you've got to place it in the ground and water it and watch it grow. But you've got to keep it in the right conditions. Make sure it's getting the right moisture, the right amount of sun. And it'll bring forth and come to a full maturity, and you'll be able to harvest it. Yes. And that's the same way this precious word's doing. We're growing. We're growing as calves in the stall. Each one of us may be the stalk might be a little taller than the next one, but we're growing. But you've got to be open to God's word and let God do the growth in your life. You can't do it on your own. And it's not something we can just turn our heads to. But when we see that there's something lacking in our lives, it's not, oh, well, I'm sorry that that's not there. I'm sorry I'm this way or that way. But it's come back to there ought to be a desire in our hearts to get back to what God wants us to be. The urgency, as we spoke about the other night, it's gone. As our brother brought souls in prison, the urgency's gone. When you go to look out throughout the message churches, you can see what's lacking in different people's lives. You see what's short, but yet they don't see it themselves, and they sit right there, and the word comes forth that would help them if they would admit that they needed it. But this is the age. We're blind, miserable, wretched, and don't know it. That we see that taking place, but we ought to be crying out, Lord, don't let me fall into that category, Lord. But keep my eyes open, Lord. Keep me tender and keep me humble. Lord, keep me in the center of your word. Not that I've read all these messages and I know all there is to know. I've read the Bible and I know exactly what it says. But when we come and gather in under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, God has a channel. And if we'll come in that open channel, God can reveal his word to us. That's the way God placed it in order, and for a reason. Yes, we can read these books and we understand what we're reading. But God had a place and a purpose for the ministry to come and to take that precious word and to bring what God showed them, to lay them on their heart, to bring it this avenue and to go that way with it. One scripture can take many messages, but God knows exactly what we need, and that we are that seed that he planted and he has watered day and night. Amen. Amen. But we've got to be willing to yield to him. The word comes and it shows me that I'm short, it's not run away from it. It's not try to get away where I don't have to hear it. But it's get farther under the anointing and cry out and ask God, Lord, shake me and take it from my life. Yes, but we've got to the place where we hear the word and it doesn't cringe us. We hear it and the easy way is, I'll just get away from it for a little bit and it'll go away. That doesn't fix nothing. We've got to come under the anointing of the Holy Spirit and in humility and ask God, Lord, give me the revelation that'll take that and change it in my life. Amen. And he will. Amen. Amen. Hearing the message, be not afraid. Preached June 7, 63, and this is paragraph 105 on page 16. What a mix-up the people has got in today that think that Christianity is one of the softest things. All they do is put their name on a book and have somebody sprinkle them or something another and give the minister the right hand of fellowship. That's all there is to it. Go on out. That's not Christianity. Christianity is self-denial, taking up your cross daily and follow him. Die out to the things of the world. When all condemnation is gone, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And how that's truly self-denial. When I see that this thing over here, I've got to die out to it. I see something in my life that shouldn't be there, it's time to go to prayer and crying out till God shows me and takes that thing from my life. It's not just going to walk out of your life. God set up a way and to cry, to get what we have need of. And how it's him, and he wants to see his people talk to him, pray to him, and let him be the Lord of their life. But today we're too busy. We've got too much stuff going on, too much stuff we want to do and accomplish, and going to church is a sideline. It really is. And you say, oh, I don't have to be there every service because I understand this and they understand that. I don't have to be there. Yeah, but we should be. There's going to be times we're going to miss. But our desire of our heart should be, Lord, I need to be there. And Lord, that's your provided way. It's not just, well, I've got the revelation of that and I understand I'm marching right on. No, God has got something for me every time I come through that door. And God will have something for you every time you come through that door. Because Brother Branham said you can't come in and go back out the same person you was. So that tells me that every time I come in, there's something new for me here. I'm climbing another step. It might have been a baby step. It might just been a little something. Or it might be a great big leap. But God is always maturing and nurturing that plant, making sure it's growing. Amen. And oh my, how it ought to be the desire of our heart to be here. As our brother mentioned a few services ago, how it used to be the desire of people that couldn't, that lived far away, how they would move to get to that word, that nucleus of where it was at. And how that's gone. People are fine with just, oh, I live so far away, so we'll just do one service a week. That's okay. When God will go, look how much time we give to everything else in our life. And how our lives should be centered around what God has given us. And how when we truly see that that eternal life is facing us, and that our eternal destination lays before us, what a cry that ought to put in our heart to get to where that word's at every time. Because God, I'm growing. He's feeding me. The same as I don't want to miss a meal at home. Because it's nurture to me. I'm feeding. I'm not starving. But oh my, we've got to the place to where we join the message. We believe it. We've got all there is to it. I don't need to be at church that much. I'm believing it. I'm just waiting on a rapture. That's what we were taught one time. Someplace else, that's not the way it is, saints. Every man must press into the kingdom of God. Search out our salvation with fear and trembling. Make sure that we know exactly where our lives are lining up 100%. But it's got to come to that, saints. It's got to be an urgency. But people are losing it. They're just content. I follow a message. I claim this, I claim that, but there's no life behind us. Oh, each one of us, myself included, we've got to be checking up more now than we ever have. Weighing up. Lord, what's laying there, Lord, that I need to overcome? What do I need to cut out of my life, Lord? Amen. This is in the message. The message, Why? Preached June 26, 1963, and this is on page 14, paragraph 96. Just like something today. Let me see, make sure. Let's back up about 95. God's real true way of living has never been popular. It never will be popular. For the preaching of the gospel is foolishness to them that perish, Paul said. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to them that believe. And we find out that the king was stubborn, just something like today. A patient will lay right. What if a patient went to the doctor and lay down on his steps and he had some kind of a fever that was going to kill him? And the doctor come to the door and said, sir, I've got the medicine in here. And he said, I just ain't. Come on in. I'll give you the injection, the inoculation. I don't want your medicine. And you say, sir, I can help you if you'll just come on in. Well, I'm not coming in. And the man laid there on the doctor's steps and died. Die on the doctor's steps because he won't accept the inoculation for typhoid fever or whatever it was that he had. He won't accept the inoculation for it. And the man dies right on the doctor's doorstep. And you can't blame the doctor. He had the medicine that will cure the disease. And the doctor is willing to give it. And it's been provided. And the man said and came as close to the doctor's doorstep and sat down there and died. You can't blame the doctor. You can't blame the medicine. It's the man that be to blame dying on the doctor's doorstep with a disease that there is a medicine to be cured and can cure it on the inside. And that's just a parable. But you know, God has medicine inside of his kingdom that will cure every sin disease there is in the world. And the people sit right on the church doorsteps. Not only that, but they'll sit right in the pew and die and are lost and go to hell because they refuse to accept the doctor's medicine. That's right. They absolutely refuse to take it. Therefore, they die with the fever. And the people sit in church and hear the message of God and believe them won't accept it. And they would say, well, now, I don't believe that's right. Some of them will come and say, agree with it and say, I believe it's right, but you won't do it. See, you'll die. Dying in the pews of the church because they won't accept the remedy. See, what it does, it takes a little bit of the popularity out of the people and it kind of beats them up a little bit. And how we see that, saints, the word can come and show. Maybe it's about the love of the world and the love of the Father not being in you. And they don't want to accept that sports is of the world. They don't want to accept that Easter bunnies and stuff's of the world. They don't want to accept Christmas is all of the world, the pagan side of it, all of that. They don't want to really truly accept it. All the word that's laying before us, those are just some examples. Maybe they come to the point to where a wife knows she's not being under subjection to her husband, and the word comes and shows, but I'm not taking that medicine. It's our actions towards it, saints. We can, and that's just a simple word. It might be a husband loving his wife, or a father rearing his children, or a wife taking care and being a mother. Every word we've heard, put it in there. Do I sit and hear the word and does it bounce off of me? I ain't accepting that. I ain't got to do that. That's the peace we must be aware of, because we see it happening in such mass quantities. The words preached, saints, I've heard men read the very word that someone might have needed and see it bounce off of them, and they said amen to it and went on, and then knowing that it's lacking in their life. And that could be me. That's what I'm saying. We must see the reverence and the sincerity of it, that when I come in here and the word's coming forth, Lord, am I that hard that it just bounces off of me and it doesn't penetrate? Do I miss what God is trying to give me? Do I miss what I could truly have because I've got my ears are dull and I'm not really in tune? I really don't care. I'm just coming to another service. I'm going to sing three songs. We're going to take up offering, have prayer requests. Preacher's going to preach, and we're going home. But where is that desire of when that word's coming forth and I feel something churning down on the inside? Where is that thing to make me stand up and praise God after the service? Or make me want to go to the altar and cry and rededicate my life? Where is that Holy Spirit that God is supposed to be real? Have we lost that reality in our lives? Have we lost what it means? If I was to ask how many of us has prayed for another brother or sister this week, could we honestly say, yep, I upheld brother so-and-so in prayer, and I upheld sister so-and-so in prayer? Where's our life at with what we claim to believe? How much dedication do we have to it? Or do we find ourselves where we have to bow our heads and say, no, I didn't fulfill that word. I didn't pray for nobody. I didn't even pray for my children. I didn't pray for my wife. Where's the word finding us? This is the reality that used to be in a people's heart and life. This was more than their bread on their table. This was more than their homes, more than their jobs. But it's lost its glimmer. It's just a sideline now. It's entertainment. It's something we do. It's what you're supposed to do. Everybody goes to church on Sunday. That's what you do. But have we lost that reality? I pray, God, don't let us lose that reality. But Lord, make it more real to us. That Lord, we would have more reverence, more sincerity when we come through the door, wherever we're gathering and getting around the word, that Lord, I'm waiting for you to speak to me. Amen.
Let's hear as he says, absolutely refuse to take the doctor's medicine, therefore they die with the fevers. And let me drop down. He says, and they won't see what it does. The popularity of the people, it kind of beats them up a little bit. They're afraid of that new birth, you know. Any birth is a mess. I don't care what it is, if it's in a pig pen or a pink decorated hospital, it's a mess. And so is the new birth. It'll make you do things you don't think you would do. It'll straighten you up. But before you can ever get right, you have to come through that mess. That's right. Before a seed can ever be born, it has to die and rot. And that's what's the matter with people today. They don't want to die and rot to the world so they can be born again of the Holy Ghost. See? They're afraid of that new birth. They're afraid. It makes them do things they don't want to do. It takes the popularity out of them. It takes the starch out of them. And oh, I tell you, I'm glad there is inoculation tonight, that it'll take it out of you, brother. That will take the world out of you. It'll make people brotherhood and associate together regardless of the denominational differences. It'll make a pair of overalls put arms around a tuxedo suit and holler, brother, I'm glad to see you. Amen, sure. But you see, they're afraid of that inoculation. Oh my. It's dangerous to refuse the doctor's medicine, you know, if you're going to him. And if you refuse the medicine, it's a danger. You may die. But that you just die physically from taking the doctor's medicine. But how much more dangerous it is to refuse God's inoculation from sin. And how that ought to be, if I truly don't know if I've got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, how that ought to be a cry in my heart greater. It should be mean more to me. The Lord is fixing to come. The end of all things is at hand. I know we've said it. We've heard it all of our lives. And it's been preached and preached and preached. But God is going to come again. Amen. This world is going to burn and be cleaned off, saints. Yes. Not annihilated, but cleaned off. Amen. But are we getting ready for that time? Or are we just wasting our time coming to church? It's a sideline. I'm just coming because brother so-and-so does, sister so-and-so does. I enjoy the fellowship. I enjoy the people. That's all good and that's fine. But it's got to come to a reality of why I'm serving God. Why do I raise up every morning? And what's my purpose in this life? I'm just not here to be a human being, but I've been predestinated to be a son and daughter of God. Amen. And all my life I owe to him for what he's done for me. Amen. Here in the message identification, preached January 23rd, 1963. Amen. That's all it is today to people when they hear the message. Another wild man, another holy roller, some religious crank. And I'm not saying that there isn't religious cranks, but did you only know that they call them oddballs? Well, listen, anybody that's living right is an oddball to this modern world. We're oddballs. Excuse the worldly expression, but it's the only way I know you was going to get what I'm talking about, see? just an odd, peculiar person. Jesus was that type of person. The prophets were them kind of persons that come in the age when everything was getting all loose end. And the prophets came and caught those loose ends and brought them back and shoved them out in the people's face and told them, the very God that you claim you're serving will destroy you because you have gone away from his program and the only path he can save you on. And they were always oddballs. And how we can truly say that the prophet God sent in this day truly declared that if we didn't turn and get in line, he, our God that we claim to be serving, would destroy us. And today we hear the message of God come forth and we think it's some crook, crank, or something. There's plenty of that in the world. Schemes, money-making, unconcern, people under impressions and speaking as if it was the Lord. The Lord always truly identifies himself, see? And notice, but in that, did you know that all things have to come? Certainly. The rose must have its thorns. The kernel in a nut should be covered over with a burr. You have to dig out the burr to get down to the kernel. We just fail to see those things. The jewels and the metals and the jewels of money, silver and gold in these mountains are covered with dirt, filled with pyrite and other minerals that runs together with it. We expect that. You got to dig it out. And when the prospector finds what he calls pay dust, it's dust. But they see it, it symbolizes that there's a shadow of a mother lode somewhere. And when we see people today pertaining to be Christians, but just living anyway, what is it? It's a pay dust, that there is a mother lode somewhere. When we see somebody acting like they got the Holy Spirit when they haven't and living a different life, it's only proof that there is a genuine mother lode of the Holy Ghost that can be poured out, that can give the things he promised. Amen. And we must be very concerned and reverent. And how that truly is, saints, there is a payload, there is a mother lode. And oh my, how each and every one of us can truly enjoy those blessings. And how it'll put a joy in your heart. It'll bring a praise in your heart. It'll put a song on your lips. It'll make you come to church. You won't have to be forced, prodded, or primed to get here. And when you get here, you don't have to be primed and prodded to sing. There's a joy, there's a love in your heart that it just flows from you. You don't need no one to try to get you wound up to get it out of you. It's in there automatically. Why? Because it's burning. It's working from the inside out. It's changing this body, bringing it subject to God's word. And then what's it do? It puts a reverence in there. It puts a love in there for God's word. That when you come in, though it may peel your hide, there is something about it. I don't care. I've had my hide peeled many a times. Many a times I've found myself in need of lots of prayer and lots of pressing on. But God has always been right there. No matter how bad it may have looked or how much it might have hurt at the time, God was right there saying, come on, you can do this. Here's what you need. Oh my God, will lift you up. Amen. But oh my, you know, we reach a place where we see so many. I don't have need of anything. I'm good. Or we hear that we know we need it, but because of what it means, I'd have to give up. I don't want to go that far. But God is looking for a genuine. He's looking for that genuine kernel of wheat. Amen. That's got the full maturity in it. And that's where we're standing today. Not something left off, not something deformed, but a pure, genuine. And I pray, God, keep stripping me. Lord, take whatever it is out of me that needs to leave. And Lord, give me a greater desire, a greater hunger. And bring me, Lord, to that full stature of Jesus Christ in me. Amen. That's what it's all about, saints. That's what we ought to be striving for. And oh, don't lose sight of it. Though we've been here many, many years, and we see all that goes on around us, God is still calling a few. He's going to take somebody out to this world, take them home. Oh, my, may it would be our heart's cry. Lord, I'm going to be one of them. Amen. Amen. You sisters can come to the instruments. Amen. Hope it wasn't too chopped up, but a good little reminder. Amen. Saints, we must be reverent. We must be sincere. Yes. And oh, my, we must lose our attitude that we know everything. We know it all. We don't know it all. God is still here. He's teaching us every day we come. Amen. And though I may have the Holy Ghost, I still need him more than anything. I need him to lead and to guide that everything I do and say would be pleasing unto him. Amen. And how our daily walks, our lives, the things we pick to choose and do, how we should really carefully look into God's word and search it. We've got computers that's got great search tools on them. And how it's easy to search topics and look things up and how we should. Maybe something our kids want to do, maybe we should study it out. Maybe it's something that wife wants to do or husband wants to get in there and look for it. See what God's word says about maybe a certain thing. See how the prophet felt about it. And then pray and carefully consider each and everything we do. But oh my, God is alive and he is real. Amen.
Amen. And he's going to have the full preeminence of a body of believers. And by God's grace, they're going to be a full reflection of him. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's all stand if you would. Amen. Let's sing that little chorus. I think it's in the Only Believe book. I was kind of singing it today. Amen. Let me see if I can find a page number. Amen. Yeah, page 87. When the roll is called up yonder. Amen. Amen.
When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair, when the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the glory of his resurrection share, when his chosen ones shall gather to their home beyond the skies, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Oh, when the roll is called up yonder, let us talk of all his wondrous love and care. Then when all of life is over and our work on earth is done, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the
may we labor. Amen. And you know, as I was saying, sometimes we come in and it seems like the word is coming right down our alley. And it may seem like the pastor has been at your house and seen every situation and may know it. But remember, there is an all-seeing eye watching you. God is in control. And remember, we must be very careful to make sure that if the word comes and it does correct us or it does step on my toes, don't blame the pastor. And don't start to find, oh, I wonder who's been talking. But remember to go to God in prayer and say, Lord, if I'm guilty of that, forgive me and help me overcome it. But if the shoe don't fit, I don't have to wear it. And then I can give God praise and glory. Lord, I thank you that that's not in my life. But oh my, so many times because of our past and the way we come, we think that the pastor's picking on me. But that's the way God has got it set up. His Holy Spirit, when he's down in there searching, the pastor may be preaching to somebody in the left corner and you might be sitting in the far right corner, and it'll feel like it's coming right down your alley. The Holy Spirit knows us on the inside out. He knows what we need. But we've got to learn to the reality that God is in control. And it's his hand that's guiding my life. It's his steps. And may I yield to that precious word and say, Lord, if that's for me, let me accept it, Lord, and let me overcome whatever it is in my life. Don't try to get away from it, as I said, but let's embrace it. Lord, I need that.
Amen.
I need that word greater in my life. Maybe it's brotherly love. Lord, I need it greater. Give it, dip it in my heart. Whatever the word may be, let's embrace it. Lord, I see where I'm short. I know I need that, Lord. And oh, let me pull it to me. And watch God make the difference in your life. Watch the joy when you can see that's been overcome in your life. It'll put the joy in your step. It'll put the shout in your heart. Amen. Praise God. I see what he's doing for me. Oh my, don't ask God to take your tests and trials away, but ask him to take you through them. And amen, that we would pass them and that they would see that reality of Jesus Christ living in each and every one of us. Amen. I pray that's our heart's desire. Amen. Hallelujah. Anybody got a song on your heart before we ask our brother to come? Amen. Let's just sing that little chorus, one of them. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. There are people almost everywhere whose hearts are all aflame with the fire that fell at Pentecost, which cleansed and made them clean. It is burning now within my heart. Oh, glory to his name. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Oh, one of them. Amen. Yes. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Seek this blessing that will cleanse your heart from sin. It will start the joy bells ringing and will keep the soul aflame. It is burning now within my heart. Oh, glory to his name. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Oh, one of them. I'm one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Oh, one of them. I'm one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them.
Hallelujah. Amen. To really know you're one of them is so, so blessed. You are. Amen. To know you are. I was thinking of all the many things our brother was speaking on and reading. I couldn't help but to think, you know, and talking about the pressing on and making sure, making our calling election sure, and all these different things he mentioned. And my mind just kept going back. Knowing the late hour we're in, the prophet said, and you know exactly what I'm talking about. What you are now is what you'll be then. If we're a doubter of God's word now, and the Lord Jesus would appear, we'd be a doubter there. You see? Whatever we are right now, that's the urgency it's on. I'll just place one more thing at you in closing, not to try to add to anything he said, just to think about what he said. But remember this, again, as the prophet said, the soul. We all know about that soul, don't we? Yes. That soul is the nature on that spirit. We are triune being. A soul, spirit, and flesh body. The soul controls the spirit. Which is what? Imagination? Memory? Conscience, affection, controls that. And then that controls the body. What nature lays within us is what we are, without a doubt. That's why the urgency should be there for a new birth. The scripture tells us ye must be born again. Is that right? And as long as I see this flesh body doing things that isn't Jesus Christ, because remember, if we're born again, that nature is a part of Christ himself. Amen. Came from the same source. And if I see this body doing things that isn't
Christ would do, what the Word says to do, then I know what nature is in control. The message of the hour has showed us that. But yet it still is thrown aside. It's pressed aside. It's put in a place where we don't want to think about it because it's too hurting to our flesh to think about it. But the urgency should be on. If there is time, if there is time, nobody standing here knows. None of us knows. It could be shut off, or it could still be on to where an elect can get in. If they're elected, they will get in. But it could be shut off. The time had to come. What an urgency ought to be burning our hearts. I'm telling you. But as always, many, even the things the prophet said, many people have mocked and scoffed at it. They have pushed it aside as not important. Not alone some puny little preacher comes along and renews their minds to it and exhorts upon it or says the same thing he says. They'll definitely not do anything he says. They can't do what God's mouthpiece, the prophet, a major prophet in the hour said, you see. But take it with you. The soul controls the spirit, and the spirit controls the body. Is that what he said? Yes. That's what it is. We can look at our own life and see what's there, what nature is there, without a doubt. Without a doubt, we know what nature is in operation. So we should see the hour of urgency and see what we need. Amen. You see? Amen. Because the Word plainly told us. Okay? So don't let the things Brother Timothy said just go off. Oh, it was just a little exhortation tonight. But think about what he read and think about what he said. You know? Think about it. God help us. Help me, because as each day goes by, I'm seeing more how serious it is. How everything's got to be lined up just right if we're bride. Amen. There's so much false and hypocrisy going around. Somebody's got to be true. There's been churches, churches, brides, brides, churches, churches. But there's going to come forth one, friends. It's going to be the true one. Amen. God help us to be a part of that true one. Amen. Let us bow our heads. Heavenly Father, as we was even singing a little song on one of them, I was thinking, Lord, I'm so thankful by grace to understand what a real one is. We can sing about one of them, Lord, and not even really understand really what a real one is. But, oh God, help us to understand what a real one is. That, Lord, we're in the last few moments of time. And, oh God, how we need a shaking, Lord, from the inside out. Oh God, to make sure everything's what it has to be. Lord, we've got to understand that the way we do in life, what we do on the job, or what we do around people, or what we just do in life in general, every day shows what nature is in control. Whether it's that worldly nature, whether it's the nature of God. Is the nature of God controlling these senses, this memory, imagination, affection, conscience, reasoning? Is it your nature, Lord, controlling it? And then, Lord, in turn, the body just has to do whatever is there. Whatever's taking place on the inside, the body, the flesh, just responds to it. But then that's the outcome of what people can look at and see. The human eyes can look upon it and see the body do the things of what's being controlled on the inside. We throw it aside so many times, Lord, when the prophets spoke about that man in the office and seeing all them pinups and all them ungodly, filthy pictures on the wall. He says you could tell what was in that man's heart by going in that office. We don't realize that, Lord. That what we do every day is telling what nature is on the inside. That's why it was even so strictly given as Apostle Paul. And he told the people to appoint 7 men filled with the Holy Ghost to be deacons. And Lord Jesus, they must have had to see something. They must have had to see something in that life that showed that Holy Ghost was there. Lord, help every one of us. Lord, you have appointed a people in this hour that you could express through now. Help me, Lord, to be one of them true. Lord, take anything out of me that isn't true, that isn't right. And Lord, I'm sure the true elected standing here with me tonight in this building has the same desire. It's so strange oftentimes, Lord, when we look and see what the prophet's desires was, knowing he was a predestinated seed of God, and then how when you look at your own life and see the same type of desires. What a blessing it is, Lord. It's the same Holy Ghost. But Lord, when they can't lay aside the ball games and all these things our brother spoke about, it shows what nature's operating. Help us now, Father. I don't mean to hold us any longer, but Lord, it is an urgency in our hearts. I pray, Lord, the souls of men should be saved through the foolishness of preaching in this little place. Thy will be done now, Lord. Bless each one. If there's time, and if there is time, while there is time, in your holy, glorious name we ask, our Lord Jesus Christ, dismiss us now and bring us back the next appointed time. If you should tarry, be thy will, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's just sing a little chorus before we leave another one. Just sing, I love him. Do you love him? Amen. I love him.